Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's Fix It Shorts with Richard and Jim. Solutions podcast in 15 minutes or less.
So, Jim, here we are on the day after the election doing our post-election special, trying to come up with stuff that other people haven't said. But I got to tell you, like a lot of people, I'm exhausted. I was up until 4 or 4:30 in the morning, crunching through the numbers and just really surprised by what happened.
Well, and it's not just that, you know, the pollsters misread this or the pundits misread it. It's that I think we have an entire institution of media and opinion that misunderstood the country, and a sense of anxiety that's out there was not taken seriously enough.
You just said two words, out there. So I'm going to start right away with a solution. Why can't we have more network news programs and media shows that don't come from here, Manhattan, where we are, or from Los Angeles, but actually, you know, Duluth, Minnesota. Let's do a show from Duluth.
Well, speaking of Duluth.
Peoria, Illinois. There was a tweet. You know, El Paso, Texas.
There was a tweet the other day. I think it was a New York Times reporter who said, I have no idea where the Iron Range is, but I know I'm looking at the poll numbers from there. Well, you know, the Iron Range is northern Minnesota and, you know, an important, not very densely populated region where you see a lot of support for Trump. I think this is the Caddyshack election. You know, in our popular culture, the idea of rich, sophisticated, Ivy League educated people often is met with a certain amount of resentment and cynicism by people who consider themselves salt of the earth. If you remember Caddyshack, you know, there was Rodney Dangerfield played this nouveau riche guy who offended all of the well-heeled, preppy golf club people. That's who Trump is. You know, people know he's rich, but he acts like a nouveau riche guy who behaves the way they'd like to behave if they got rich. And they kind of, people sort of got a kick out of him kicking over the apple cart and making trouble.
Some people did.
Yeah. But, you know, they're responding to a deep strain in our culture where we tend to distrust the polished elite sometimes and go for the, he was called the chaos candidate. That seems like a negative thing. I think it's a negative thing. But you could see why for some people it came across as a positive. A lot of things he was criticized for, people kind of shrugged off because, yeah, he's acting like a jerk. That didn't seem so problematic to them because they don't feel welcomed or respected by the people he was criticizing.
That's true, but equally true is the pushback that those people deserve when they're intolerant of people who aren't like them.
Absolutely.
I mean, racism was a factor in this election. We have to face that.
Yeah, no. But listen, I also want to be very, very clear. I'm critical of current media government establishment. To me, Trump is like the worst possible candidate. And I'm so much the opposite of ever supporting
what he stands for. Yeah, because he comes out of the media.
So here's the question. Why didn't all that horrible stuff Trump say hurt him?
It hurt him a lot. A lot of decent people turned out to vote against him.
Right.
I mean, and some of the awful stuff he said about women.
Right.
That in the exit polling I was looking at, that was a huge concern for an awful lot of people.
As it should be. But my point is, so how did he wind up getting elected? And if we're going to understand that, we do need to dig back because it wasn't noticed by the New York Times, but it was noticed by those people, you know, in the Iron Range in Minnesota, those people who called themselves bitter clingers as a joke because they knew that's what Obama thought of them, that they cling to their guns and religion. That resentment has been building up for a long time. And it wasn't taken seriously enough. It doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't make it right.
But I'm trying to explain how it happened.
One of the things we need to do on our show is understand what went on here and what didn't go on here as well, because Hillary Clinton's vote did not collapse. We're not talking about a Ronald Reagan 1980 election when incumbent President Jimmy Carter was defeated by a vast number of people.
No.
This was a small shift, relatively, a change of about 5%.
But still amazing. I mean, I thought he would win in an overwhelming, that he would lose in an overwhelming landslide. I just thought the stuff he said was so toxic that he couldn't possibly survive it. And the fact that he did is still staggering to me. So I'm struggling to dig back and see how the public just came to shrug off stuff.
But I think what you're also saying is that going forward, we need to think of ourselves not as hyphenated Americans, but as Americans who share concerns that other people share. And that's made really difficult by some of the racist and sexist stuff that Trump said.
Yes, which is a mirror image of the identity politics on the left. You know, I think we've seen this on both sides. When people constantly criticize critics of Obama, say, well, they're just white guys who don't like losing their power. Sometimes that might have been true. But when that's your standard answer to anytime somebody disagrees with you, after a while, people tune it out. And they resent being treated that way. They resent people making assumptions about them. Trump can say anything and people just say, yeah, whatever.
And they shouldn't.
Right. One of the really alarming things is the way that the Trump campaign somehow gave certain people a feeling they had permission to allow this really ugly stuff to come out. But at the same time, I think that Trump's excesses didn't bother people that much because they weren't expecting him to be precise. What he does is you take something that has a grain of truth, or at least something worth debating. It's like, I don't agree with him, but it's worth debating the impact of trade. Then he wildly overstates stuff, and he makes anybody who wants to have a rational discussion sort of back away from even touching the topic. He did that with immigration, did that with a lot of issues, but his supporters don't take him so literally. They understand. They charitably look for the broader thrust of what he's saying.
But can he govern like that?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think it's really worrisome.
Yeah.
I think it's really worrisome. Government requires some pretty precise language. He doesn't seem capable
of
that.
And America's reputation overseas really been damaged.
It's really worrisome. Yeah. And, you know, you think about foreign affairs and how just one line, you know, one misguided statement can reverberate for years.
And I know that the lesson, or one of the lessons of this election, is that people vote their hunches, they vote their hearts. They don't seem to be bothered by details in policy. That, to me, is disturbing, especially when you look at something like climate change and the Paris Agreement. There could be a tremendous amount of damage.
It's interesting. As politics has gotten more ideological and personal, it's gotten harder to discuss policy. You know, and it's gotten harder to sit down and say, okay, what do we do about trade? What do we do about immigration? Where can we meet on this, when everyone is so anxious just to find one phrase the other person uses that can then brand them as a terrible person?
Well, Jim, that's what we got to do. We've got to push back against that.
Yeah.
So usually the most optimistic candidate wins. That usually does happen. It certainly happened 8 years ago with Barack Obama. It happened famously with Ronald Reagan back in 1980.
Sure.
I think
and
Bill Clinton. There are going to be so many people throwing grenades at Hillary Clinton. My little pea shot or grenade is that she left it way too late before she talked about her vision of hope.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Her sense of how we can make things better in America.
Well, I mean, it was a negative campaign because Trump provided such a target-rich environment. I mean, every day something really indefensible was coming out of his mouth. So you in a way you can't blame him, but I think it wasn't just that her tone wasn't positive. She didn't have much in the way of policy to talk about that was new or different, and in a change election, they didn't really want another Obama term. Okay, so what happens now? A lot of people are wondering, okay, what's Trump going to do? He's so unpredictable. We have no idea, you know, and he's so reactive to whoever insulted him most recently. But how about Congress? There's Republicans in Congress that are going to have a lot of say. What if they say, let's sit down with Democrats instead of being triumphal, saying, we won, you lost, we're going to cram stuff down your throat. What if they sat down and said, let's come up with a list of things we do agree on. Things like sentencing reform, where, you know, you have elements of both the right and the left that know the way that people are sentenced today is not right. It bears a heavy burden on minority communities, poor communities. What about things like occupational licensing where, you know, you have to go to school for 18 months to get permission to be a hairdresser in some states. That's a huge burden on working class people trying to start businesses. They could come up with a list of stuff and then sit down and talk to Democrats about it.
They certainly could. One area is business tax reform. Mm-hmm. It's so unbelievably complicated, and it discourages many people from forming businesses.
Yes.
The number of new businesses being formed in this country has been falling.
I know, amazing.
At a time where we're supposed to have economic growth, one of the reasons for that is our Byzantine tax system.
Right.
And also our regulatory system. You don't have to think that we need to get rid of environmental regulations to be in favor of making things simpler.
Yes.
I mean, we saw that when we were trying to revive the economy in 2008 after the god-awful mess of the financial crisis. Shovel ready, it takes ages to get shovel ready projects.
That's right.
Done.
Even Obama admitted,
and Hillary Clinton has admitted that we need more tax reform. So, yes, let's get Republicans and Democrats together in Congress to do their job. So, let's look at a whole range of areas where we can agree. Another area which is interesting, I think there's a majority in this new Congress for not tearing up all of our free trade agreements.
That'll be really
putting
interesting.
Putting the brakes on Donald Trump, I think that's very important, because one of the most worrying things about adding crazy tariffs on imported goods is we're going to have inflation up the wazoo.
Yeah.
And one of the triumphs of the last 15, 20 years has been 25 years mm-hmm. has been the taming of inflation. We need to protect those gains. It's not a romantic subject, but it makes a big difference for American consumers.
I couldn't agree more. And I don't think we may not get that much leadership from the White House. I think they're going to be disorganized. Maybe Congress could surprise us for a change and show that some cooperation is possible.
Nevertheless, we're left, though, with a great deal of campaign wreckage, and America's very deeply divided. So we need a civility revolution.
Mm-hmm.
We need all of us to be less snarky. We need to reach out and find people who really see the world very differently than we do. There's a wonderful article in the New York Times recently by Arthur Brooks, who's the head of the American Enterprise Institute, a conservative, and the Dalai Lama. And they spoke about the need for volunteering, for reaching out beyond our selfish selves to other people and to help and get out into the community more. And I do feel right now, if you're listening and you're depressed and you're embittered at the moment, that then reach out. I love what the head of an environmental group said to their supporters this morning after this result, saying that it was a big blow, but urging them to bring creativity and passion to finding new ways forward. It's a positive message. I don't think that we should retreat into ourselves and be depressed. We need to be positive and to stand up in positive ways for what we believe in.
And I think your point about the volunteering, it's also about re-engaging with a community that's broader than just your friends or people that are like you.
It's How Do We Fix It. I'm Richard Davies.
And I'm Jim Meggs.
Thanks for joining us on this election special.
This is our somewhat stunned post-election
recap. On this miserable rainy day in New York.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.